The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, come on in. 8 o'clock hour. Glad you are here. 866-660-5759. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, 835, Betsy Price, longtime mayor of Fort Worth, now offering herself up for Tarrant County Judge. A fascinating race. The key opponent there, Tim O'Hare. He's with us tomorrow at 835. Let's see. There are a couple of things I want to do leading up to that, a couple of things I want to share with you. Let me share something with you right now. On a beautiful day like today, where we're, you know, we've been in like the 70s and sunshine, you know, you go back, what was it, a week and a fraction ago where it was really cold and nasty and 15 degrees, and this is just better. Isn't it great when things get better? Let's say you've had some kind of sickness, some kind of illness, or you've been fighting through something with yourself or a friend or a loved one. And somebody's been ill, and they just get better. Isn't it just wonderful when things get better? Yeah, 2024, when we get out of the Biden presidency and have a Republican in the White House again. Isn't it just better when things get better? Let me throw something else in. Let's say there's some financial struggle, and you enjoy some windfall, or something just finally comes your way. Isn't it just a moment when things get better, when a bad thing is minimized and a good thing comes in to replace it. You guys are helping things get better in some of the most desperate corners of our hemisphere, in Latin America, in the Caribbean, in Haiti, in Guatemala, and other places where I have been. Our friends at Food for the Poor, we're partnered with them in our current campaign, and we're doing so well. And I thank you so very, very much. Because take your worst problem today. You know how many people would kill to have your worst problem today or mine? Imagine you ain't got no food. Imagine, man, I'm thirsty, but there's no water where we live. So you got to go trucking up into the mountains. And, you know, bring down whatever's rolling through some nasty creek. Who knows what's been going on in there? But that's the water we have to drink. This is the plight of some of these villages in Nicaragua and in Haiti where I've gone with Food for the Poor. And this is what we're improving every day and every year when we do the campaign. How do we do it? At 660amtheanswer.com, there's a little banner ad. Click that called Give Life, because that's exactly what you're going to do. For $88, one-time shot, $88, you will feed a child for a year and help bring a water project to a place that has no running water. $88. Now, that's $88. That's some money. And if you don't have 88, but you got 28, you got 20, you got 14, you got 36, we'll take it. There's the click the other box. We'll take whatever you got. And we're so, so very, very grateful. Do the multiples of 88, and for every, I mean, you can do any, pick a round number. I got 200, but whatever, we'll take it. We're so very grateful. And then Food for the Poor, which has just done so much over the years, magnificent, magnificent outreach, magnificent scriptural outreach to these places where the needs are running so very, very deeply. They're doing it. I've seen it. You're making it happen. So thanks today for making it happen. Go to 660amtheanswer.com, click Give Life, and click the 88 or what the other button or the multiples of 88. For every 88, we feed a child for a year and help bring a water project to his or her little village where they ain't got no running water, but they will now because of you. Do you know what it's like when things get better? You know what it's like to be a child in Nicaragua or growing up in the suburbs of Port-au-Prince, Haiti? and you didn't have food last week, but you do this week. And you didn't have a water project with any running water last month, but this month you do. You are making things better. And I'm so, so very grateful. I'm grateful. Food for the Poor is grateful. But the gratitude coming off the eyes of these children I've held in my arms, that's the gratitude I want to relate to you. That's the from my heart to yours, that's what I want to transmit to you is their gratitude. So thanks in advance for what you may be about to do today. And I appreciate it. 660amtheanswer.com, 660amtheanswer.com. Click Give Life, and that's exactly what you just did. Thank you. Now, the one quick thing, the little gimmickry that we engage in, if you've got $1,000 lying around, we're going to hook up and do a Zoom meeting. Rhonda's coordinating them, and we're going to do the first one here in a couple of weeks, I guess, on a weeknight, 7 o'clock, probably at just your house, my house, Rhonda's house. We'll all be, you know, we're going to keep them to a limited number of people, keep them nice and intimate. And if you go to 660amtheanswer.com and click Give Life and drop a grand on us, first of all, thank you. How many kids did you just feed? And how many water projects did you just finance? And we're gonna plug you into the Zoom meeting. Just email Rhonda, hey, just did 1,000, hook me up. And the way you email Rhonda is markdavisshow@gmail.com, markdavisshow@gmail.com. She'll get back with you and say, okay, what dates work well for you? So anyway, 1,000 or 88 or 8. Whatever the dollar amount is, we appreciate it. 660amtheanswer.com and click Give Life. All righty. Giving life to this trucker protest vibe that's growing in America. We were in the middle of kind of the hour came to an end. I want Turley to finish here on with Tucker last night. Jonathan Turley was talking about the degrees to which civil disobedience by its definition involves the skirting of some form of law, right? But it's what John Lewis called good trouble. You know, the lunch counters of South Carolina, the bridges of Alabama, from Dr. King to others, in order to bring about the change that was viewed as necessary. You know, it was peaceful, but it did indeed take to task some things in law that struck people, civil rights activists in America in the 50s and 60s, Canadian truckers this week, maybe others in America soon to come, that something is just wrong and it's time to get somebody's attention. Jonathan Turley last night on Tucker Carlson.
When you put all that together, you've extinguished the ability of thousands, perhaps even millions of people to express themselves through a form of civil disobedience. And according to Prime Minister Trudeau's definition, he could have shut down the civil rights movement. He could have arrested Martin Luther King. He could have arrested any number of figures that we now celebrate today as visionaries. Now, that doesn't mean that the truckers were right, and it doesn't mean that they can block bridges. They can't. But what the government has done here is really at odds with very basic human rights and civil liberties.
And you really get, I mean, if they're regulating cryptocurrency, which I'm praying is not actually possible, but they're saying that they want to out loud, then, you know, that's a pre-existing priority for them to establish social and political control. I mean, that's not related to the truckers, right?
Right. Well, part of the thing is you sort of stand back and go, what? I mean, you have people who are engaging in what he calls occupation. That's a form of civil disobedience. And yet you go to DEFCON 4 suddenly and you say, you know, I'm going to take control over banks and crowdfunding and cryptocurrency. All of this is because truckers descended on their capital to object to these mandates. Now, I happen to support vaccinations. I don't necessarily agree with the truckers, but what I have in common with the truckers is free speech, right, and association. And when someone tries to deny that to them, they deny it to us.
Jonathan Turley at GW. Now, it's kind of funny. I wonder if, I guess he gets it. I don't know. Pretty interesting thing. He referred to going to DEFCON 4. Is that like really bad? Or just one away from the comfort zone? Answer is, it's DEFCON 5 is life is normal, rainbows and unicorns. It's DEFCON 1 where the missiles are in the air. Okay, so 4 would be still kind of okay. So I think I might have had that a little flip. So if you're ever using the DEFCON scale, metaphorically. Five is everything's hunky-dory. One is nuclear holocaust. Okay. All right. 819-866-660-5759. Dave, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark. I was listening to you in 2009, during the height of the Tea Party, and I remember how excited you were. You were broadcasting from a rally, and it sounded like...
That's exactly what it sounded like.
But, and the Tea Party did accomplish some things, but, we've been down this rodeo before where people are on the streets in large numbers, and it's amazing how little people can accomplish even when there's a ton of them. When they're working through the federal system, it just gets absorbed and dissipated. So what we've done in New Hampshire...
Let's take your premise, because that's often true, but whether it's taking to the streets or taking to meetings and rallies, I would suggest that the Tea Party movement wholesale changed the Republican Party, which is an incredible thing. And that the post-George Floyd protests and Black Lives Matter stuff was incredibly powerful in hijacking an entire debate in America that could have gone very different. So, one movement I admired, one I didn't. But those are two examples in the relatively recent past where if you have enough people – and they're engaging in a kind of a mass activism, the differences are huge and palpable. So anyway, but continue.
The problem is that police spending hasn't really gone down. That was the main objective. And with the Tea Party, government spending overall hasn't gone down.
True enough. I mean, because believe you me, and as much as the average Tea Party person loves Trump, and rightfully so, the reduction of spending didn't really happen, and spending cuts were the one thing, the one really conservative thing that Trump never really talked about so very, very much. As the Tea Party movement continued to roll out, though, it was about all kinds of conservative things and not just about reductions in spending. As the Black Lives Matter movement rolled forward, it was about a way, way more than actual fiscal defunding of police. It was about slandering and smearing the police, which it did with enormous success. But I sense that you're going somewhere. Feel free to go there.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah. So what we've done in New Hampshire that tries to get around this problem of everything turning into more spending is we have independence legislation. We have actually had a hearing, and we're going to have a full vote of the New Hampshire House on the right of the people in New Hampshire to vote on leaving the union.
What kind of BS is that?
Well, it's the kind of BS that almost worked in Quebec, that did work in Slovenia, that did work in Estonia.
And so, I'm in Texas. I run into the occasional secessionist at Albertsons. So please tell me how that helps the Granite State and how it helps America, please.
Well, just look at history. Look at how much it helped Quebec achieve their
That is a grotesque logical flaw, because in some other country, in some other circumstance, it was something that could be argued. Just, dude, that cutting and running is never a good idea. New Hampshire's awesome. Been up there every 4 years for a long time. Manchester and Keene and Portsmouth. And it's just a wonderful, beautiful state. It makes America better. And so, and the other thing is, it will simply never happen. Never.
Well, that's what they used to say in us. That's what they used to say in Estonia.
It's another huge, grotesque, logical flaw that because people doubted it there and it actually happened, that must mean that everything that anybody doubts today will someday happen because, hey, Estonia. It sounds like you got a lot of energies that I would really, really agree with. Just my loving advice is to focus them toward things, A, that will actually happen, and I guess the overall blanket I'd wrap around it is don't let the Biden presidency or the current state of affairs or whatever make you so downtrodden that you just don't want to be a part of America anymore. I would hope for a better goal, and I love you. 824, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Can't you see it? Don't you think she's feeling the same?
Let's go back about 40 years. For the only up-tempo record Melissa Manchester ever did. And it was a wonderful, you should hear how she talks about you. Melissa Manchester is 71 today. I mean, I know it could have rolled out Midnight Blue or Don't Cry Out Loud. Like, woof. I mean, Adele just called and said, man, that's some depressing stuff. Kidding. All right, 866-660-5759. Logic means everything to me. Logic means everything to me. So I try to point out certain logical flaws every once in a while lovingly. Here's just... The Dallas Cowboys were 4-12 in 2015. Okay. The following year, they were 13-3. That must mean that a team that's 4-12 today, this is going to be 13-3 next year. Yeah, no. Maybe. But anyway, past is not always prologue. 8:30. Well, here's my prologue to a Gordon Griffin newscast. And then Betsy Price joins us, used to be Fort Worth mayor, now Tarrant County Judge campaign. We'll talk about how that's going next. And her main opponent, Tim O'Hare, with us tomorrow at this exact same time at 8:35. Diving into that race next on 660 AM. The Answer. Here is Gordon Griffin in the news.
You're in someone else's arms. And Dallas,
this was an easy call.
This Fort Worth ever lost your mind.
First of all, it's just enormously... First of all, any excuse for George Strait. And then, does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Hello, obvious Tarrant County, obviously Betsy Price significance. But, you know, there's nostalgia here because the last time I heard that song live was at the wonderful Dickies Arena on Lisa's birthday 2019 in what seems like another world now, when George Strait was at Dickies Arena in an energized, revitalized Fort Worth and overseeing a whole lot of that. The former mayor, who now seeks to be Tarrant County Judge, Betsy Price, joins us. How you doing, ma'am? Welcome. How are things?
I'm good, Mark, and I was right there with you.
I know. You were, and it was just so very. And listen, fabulous. Dickies is reopening. Events are coming back. Things are coming back. It's just a good time. And, you know, there is another occasion when you and I were in the same place that I want to begin with, and that was the last time you and I were standing in exactly the same location, Sundance Square. The wonderful the Cowtown car show thing for my buddy Chris Getz and his prostate cancer awareness. The Cowtown Cruise for a Cure. Exactly right.
Yep.
And I asked, are you the Republican mayor in the biggest? Is there a Republican mayor in a bigger? Finding a Republican mayor in a big American city is a rare and wonderful thing. So that's fantastic. So what do you seek to bring from that experience into the Tarrant County Judge post?
Well, you know, I did. I led the largest Republican city in the nation the 10 years that I served, and most of the time in the top 25, I was the only Republican mayor. And I will tell you, it was a battle sometimes. But the experience and what we left for Fort Worth, we left Maddie, who's also a Republican. We fought hard to keep Republican leadership in this city when most of the major cities were gone. But what we bring to the table is that experience, having led a big budget, a huge team, fought for conservative values. But sitting mayor, I wasn't the first time I've been a Republican. You remember I was the tax assessor for 10 and a half years, and I was able to cut that budget dramatically while delivering great service and a huge growth in the county. We did the same thing at the city. We fought back the efforts to defund our police department. We had the most peaceful racial protest of any major city, and we cut our pension and settled it, the only major city in the state to do it without having to go to Austin.
Usually, I mean, county judge is a post that makes the news usually when there's something controversial that comes out. Everybody knows who Clay Jenkins is now because of just some of the authoritarian, repressive things. That vibe didn't much come off of Tarrant County Judge Glenn Whitley. So in seeking the Tarrant County Judge post now, and I don't want you to, you know, pick on anybody in particular, but just policies and just how this whole COVID nightmare has been handled, what might you have done differently? What will you bring to it, because it's still going to be kind of with us in its vestiges. So what's your thought about, you know, this policy and lockdowns and shutdowns and the things that we've all been through?
you know, the lockdowns and shutdowns, nobody understands how that came down unless you were really on the front line. And you were there, Mark. You were following the knowledge and following what was happening. I was certainly there leading the largest city and working with Judge Whitley. We would never do the shutdowns again, but the directions came from the Trump White House and from Abbott's office to style these and get them going. There was no PPE for our hospitals. There was no testing to speak of. There was no way to trace this virus. It was an unknown, but Tarrant County reopened quicker than any large county. And I can tell you, having been on the phone with the large city mayors in Texas and the other county judges, it was a battle for Glenn and me and Jeff Williams at Arlington and Oscar in North Richland Hills to hold the line on conservative values and say, you got to get reopened. We hosted the first big golf tournament at Colonial during COVID. We hosted the NFR. And a lot of people said, you can't do that. And I said, yes, we can. But what we know now is that public health has to improve dramatically on how they're tracking things and their delivery service and their testing so that we can do this better.
It's, I mean, history lays out, and with it's 2 years ago, seems like forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued by the answer. I'm guessing a general fan of President Trump, a general fan of Governor Abbott. But what I'm hearing is they made me do this.
No, they offered us, the suggestions came from their CDC, from their guidelines, and we pretty much followed those guidelines with rare exceptions in the community. Most of the cities followed those guidelines. Now, when some of them said, consider when you lift it, we lifted it quickly and many cities did not.
So now, of course, in a primary battle against Tim O'Hare, you're going to get busted for having, for everybody's going to go back and look at, I mean, I'm looking at various things with the websites and, you know, things were shut down, but not the abortion clinics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's another of these bitter primary campaign battles.
Yeah.
Let's
clarify that. Abortion
feel free to go right to it, and then we'll do some more. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Please.
That particular piece we had no control over. Mm-hmm. At the time, abortion clinics were listed on the federal guideline as medical facilities and listed on the state guideline as medical facilities. And the directions came in no uncertain terms that you couldn't close medical facilities. Now, thank goodness, our legislature has removed abortion clinics from medical facilities. So if it were hindsight, we'd be able to take them out. But at the time, they were classified as a medical facility that was protected.
Gotcha. Betsy Price is here, former Fort Worth mayor, now seeking the post of Tarrant County judge. The race has been viewed as you as a kind of a traditional Republican with the kind of approach that's been long familiar, with Tim as the kind of a Trumpier, spicier, sharper elbows type of conservative. Is that fair or no?
There's probably some truth in it, but I'm a staunch Republican and a strong conservative and always have been. I got a great record of cutting property tax rates, great record of getting rid of waste in government and protecting our police department. So, you know, I was Republican and doing the conservative smaller government, less interference in your life, less government spending, when most of these folks weren't even voting.
It is chronologically that would be true in many cases.
Yeah.
Did the goalposts move though? Did something in the Trump era create? Because I'm just looking at what some of the things that are they're coming after you about the lady who was hired to run the inclusion and diversity department 5 years ago, nobody cares. Now, all of a sudden, in the era of CRT, we do. You want to address that a little bit? Does Fort Worth need an inclusion and diversity department?
Well, you know, that came out of the first, a lot of that came out of a committee in a major city, in any community, you must listen to all your citizens. Mm-hmm. That came out of our police department felt like they needed additional training. They wanted some training that would help them, some training that the community could come in. And they wanted the ability to be able to hire more officers and more employees in the city that was reflective of who our population was in the community. Most businesses, most cities have, it didn't have anything to do with CRT. It's got nothing to do with that. It has to do more with diversity training.
Well, okay, which is defined by what? What is diversity training?
Just understanding people of all races and all orientation and being able to work with them.
would you join the community of people in suggesting that critical race theory is a bad thing to have woven through our education system?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, here's what I think on education, Mark. CRT has now been outlawed by the state, should have never been there to begin with in our schools. It's a college, master's, doctorate level course. I don't know whether they ought to be teaching it or not, but certainly not to our kids. But what we're missing in our schools is we have forgotten, and our kids are struggling. And I've worked on this, co-chaired the Education Committee for National League of Cities and for U.S. Conference of Mayors. We've got to get back to the basics of math, reading, writing, and science. The rest of this is noise that is distracting from our kids' learning. We got to start talking about our kids' achievement, or we're never going to have the workforce that we want. And then government is stuck with, and citizens, not government, but it's your dollars, are going to be stuck with higher crime, higher poverty, because we don't have an educated workforce.
You mentioned,
let's get back to the basics of education.
You mentioned that the Fort Worth BLM protests were not as caustic and not as harmful as over in Dallas, and as will happen in a primary, there's footage of you downtown talking to Black Lives Matter protesters, and there's one little clip of you saying, "I don't want them to stop this," or something like this. Even I looked at this and said, I believe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that you found political activism on display that you may or may not have agreed with, but you always want young people to be plugged into events, et cetera, et cetera. I do not for a minute believe that this was you wholesale supporting the Black Lives Matter agenda.
Absolutely not. And that wasn't a Black Lives Matter group. It was a group called United My Fort Worth, who is peaceful. And they just happen to have a couple of Black Lives members. But it's just like yours and mine's right to protest, my children's right to protest, as long as they're peaceful. Get engaged in your government and be enthusiastic about it. Do I like their cause? No, I didn't. But because we went down and listened to them, it was incredibly peaceful. We didn't give in to them at all. The police chief went down and talked with them and actually knelt and prayed with them. And I do believe that's the main reason we were so peaceful here. Have to be available to listen to people. You can't hide behind ideology and hide behind a desk. You have to be out in the community, good, bad, or ugly. And that's what strong leaders do, and that's what good conservatives have always done.
I think there is praiseworthy elements to that. I remember, God, it just reminded me of that day where you got police folks kneeling, and I mean, praying. I know they were praying, mm-hmm. but the kneeling thing had a certain stigma. Was that the best idea? Couldn't we have expressed some appreciation for the protest, the peaceful protest motive, without seeming to lock arms with it?
I don't know. That happened very spontaneously with Chief Krause and his command staff who were there. I don't know that anybody thought through that and said, we're going to go down and we're going to ask them to pray and we're going to ask them to kneel. Chief Krause told me it just moved him at the moment to do it.
Gotcha.
And I think that's what the passion is for good, not politicians, but good public servants, which is what we need more of in this country, which is why I continue to serve at the local level. I think good servants serve locally where they can change their community.
Any primary race is about the difference between you and other folks. Tell me what's different between you being county judge and Tim O'Hare being county judge. What would you just flat out do that's different?
What I would do is bring experience to the table. I know this community. I've been endorsed by most of the mayors, 36 of the 41 mayors have endorsed. I've worked with all of them. I've worked with this court. I've worked with the other elected officials. And I would bring that conservative leadership, that ability to get along, honesty, and a passion for Tarrant County. I'm a lifelong Tarrant County resident, and Tim is not. Tim doesn't work in Tarrant County, has never worked in Tarrant County. His business is in Collin and Dallas County.
You have to hit
the ground running and know people.
Betsy Price with us. For old time's sake, a Fort Worth mayoral question. Maddie Parker made the news the other day with the notion of her and the council saying, all other things being equal, $29,000 for the mayor, which you know well, $25,000 for council. It's peanuts. We're working hard here. How about if we triple those salaries? Good idea or bad idea?
At some point, Fort Worth is going to have to raise the salary for their elected officials. just honestly, my thinking on it was, with a brand new council, it's a little young to be asking for it right off the bat.
Yeah, well. Timing is everything. But over, well, yeah. It's kind of funny. Over in Dallas, I think the mayor makes like 80 and the council makes like 60. Mm-hmm. But so mm-hmm. which proves you don't, and I like Mayor Johnson in Dallas, but you don't always get what you pay for. Well, I wanted to throw that in just as just old reminiscences about Fort Worth mayor, because you certainly did that honorably for so very long. And now we're looking for the new gig as Tarrant County judge. Thanks. We'll probably revisit before the primary. Never can tell. March 1st is primary. Early voting right now. Betsy Price. What's the website, Betsy? Let me send everybody the right place.
Betsy Price for County Judge.
Betsy Price for County Judge.com, I trust.
.com.
Very, very good. Always a pleasure, ma'am. Thank you very, very much.
Too,
good
Mark.
Health and success on the campaign trail. That is Betsy Price. Mark Davis, 851. Tim O'Hare tomorrow, 835. We'll probably cycle them both back through here one more time before the big primary on the 1st of March. It's 852. All righty, 8:57, working our way through a beautiful, sunny Tuesday morning. Let's hop to the phone calls. 866-660-5759. And then at the beginning of next hour, we're going to hop into the 32nd Congressional District. Bunch of Republicans running for the opportunity to get at Colin Allred. Justin Webb will join us, 905. Right now, we're in Fort Worth. Ed, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I just listened to Betsy's interview. I remember those protests differently. I worked downtown, and our office had to close because we were worried about what was happening down there. I mean, protesters closed that 7th Street Bridge for hours. And to my knowledge, I don't think anybody was charged. The city didn't charge them, even though they were doing so much protesting that it got, you know, concerning to close businesses down there.
Yeah, I remember the concern. And if somebody asks, was it better than Dallas? Yes, as most Fort Worth things are. I say that with all love. But it was not tension-free. It was not crime-free. I don't know what would happen if they'd have started rolling up paddy wagons. That's usually my favorite thing when people break the law. The one thing that I remember is I don't have the misty, wistful recollection of Chief Ed Krause kneeling and praying with those protesters. That was a terrible idea. And this comes from someone who's an enormous fan of prayer. Prayer is something that you engage in communally with people when you are really just on exactly or vastly similarly the same page. A lot of these protests had involved in kneeling and praying for all manner of unsavory things, the slander of all police, the characterization of our country as a racist hellhole. If a public official, from a mayor to a police chief, wants to express support for peaceful protest, that's always great. The kneeling and praying with the protests, bad move, and I do not ever want to see that again.
Well, and you got to remember, Mark, I mean, that's the context of what she's saying she wants them to keep up. I mean, I think that's what she's talking about there.
What?
And those protests are what she's talking about, you know, and that's what closed businesses, you know, I think churches were still restricted from meeting at the time.
I understand that. But in all fairness, I mean, I went and watched the TV clip of that. She went and spoke with some of those folks who were doing some of the protesting, some direct BLM, others just other types of activism. And the quote was about wanting young people to stay plugged in to activism, and I think from that to somehow extrapolate that Betsy was all on board for lawless BLM protests is dishonest on its face.
Why weren't there any charges from the city?
Ask Chief Krause. Police are who charge people. Ask the DA. And by the way, Matt Krause will make a great DA while we're on that race. I appreciate you. Thanks. All righty, 8:59. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.